Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to my beautiful planet Earth. I want to welcome you to It's All About You, the radio program that is celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. And I'm your host, I'm Darian Marshall. I'm all excited because it's Monday, and you know, with me and Monday, I get the chance to do my show. I'm kind of wired up right now. It's really weird because, as most of you know, I am not a gardener at all. I live in Center City, Philadelphia, in my apartment and all. I have a patio, but there's a little patch of grass on the left side that's been just dirt all these years I've lived here. And today I decided to do something. I bought some mulch. I bought flowers. So I was out there digging in the dirt and being all gardener-like and just kind of exciting. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what these flowers are going to look like tomorrow morning, but it really is beautiful to look out there. And so if I sound a little wired up and wild, it's because I'm really excited because my patio is looking so pretty today. And I want to tell you also, my new website is finally up. It's simple, DarianMarshall.com. And just so you know, every week I put a blog on there on Monday. I give you a positive saying from the Science of Mind magazine, and then I put the whole blog out for that particular saying of that day. And I think this month it's Eugene Holden. He's one of the practitioners with the Science of Mind people, Religious Science and New Thought. So take a look at that when you get a chance. I'm really, really happy and excited today because my guest is, I want to say Maria Felipe, but I speak Spanish, but how do you want the English-speaking people to pronounce your name? Do you?
No, actually, that sounds really good, Maria Felipe. You're actually the first person that actually says it. Perfect.
Oh, okay, great.
but it's because you speak Spanish. So
yeah, I do
awesome.
Speak a little Spanish.
Yeah. I love it.
Because I didn't know if she pronounces Maria Felipe for English-speaking people. I wasn't sure how you do it.
Yeah, no, it's Maria Felipe, which is great. You said it's just perfect.
Oh, terrific. Maria Felipe. And your website is mariafelipe.org.
Yep, mariafelipe.org is the website. Mm-hmm.
Oh, terrific. Now, so just tell us a little bit about this fabulous new book and about your title, Live Your Happy. Like, what is that about? It's kind of interesting. It's a little strange. Yeah, but I like it.
I love how you say that. Let's talk about the title being strange, because when I started writing the book, the first thing that you do when you're going to, send a book proposal out to publishers is that you need a title. So this was the one and only title that came to me. I didn't have, like, five to choose from. This was it. And I just came up with it. I don't know how. One day I was just, Live Your Happy, and I send it to my book agent and editor of the book, which is D. Patrick Miller. And I sent him the title. And he says, Maria, you know what? Grammatically, it's not the best, but it's very you. I like it.
How nice.
So it was so cool because even though grammatically it's not, correct, even though nowadays, when you look out, I see a lot of companies using happiness, like be happy or be happy now, or like all this happy or live happy or whatever, have been using this now. And I think it's just interesting because they use the happy out of context as well, as I did in the book. But the title, what it is Live Your Happy, is really about stepping into the truth every single day without compromise. What do I mean by that? Live Your Happy means it's a way of living versus just be in your head intellectual. Like, I know these concepts, I am love, I am light, I am happiness. But let's bring it from the head intellectually to the heart and inspire you to live your happy every day. What does that mean? It means being less judgmental, being forgiving even if you don't want to, recognizing that the outside doesn't define you and your source is not outside you and that happiness is not outside you. You know, it's living in a way that you're not a victim of the world that you see. Living your happy means you understand the way, you live the concept of understanding the way your mind works and choosing more love thoughts versus fear thoughts. So Live Your Happy is a lifestyle. It's a way of living. And it's not just a book. It's actually a movement. It's a way to live.
And I like the way you say you're happy, like live it. It belongs to you. It makes you feel good just hearing the title, to be honest.
Now, yeah, because it does belong to you, because I feel that, you know, it's so powerful to know that it's within you. Like, we're taught that everything's external. The answer's outside of you. The answer's outside of you in a psychologist, or the answer is outside of you in your parent or your spouse, or even like your happiness is outside of you. But this book brings you back to that the power is within you, and you actually have the answer. So I help people understand, they have a voice, an intuitive voice that knows everything.
Yes.
And really, really inspires you that you have everything and lack nothing.
Now, you know, every time someone like you puts together a beautiful work like this, there's always going to be those little yang-yang people always saying, so are you saying you have to be happy all the time? Aren't the other emotions we have important as well? I'm sure it's more to it than just that. So are you saying we have to be happy all the time?
Well, if you're asking me, do I think that we could be happy all the time?
Mm-hmm.
If that's the question, I would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very radical, and something radical to say. Am I there yet? No, but I'm working on it, right? I think it's very possible that we can be happy all the time, in the sense of, in the worldly sense, we could. Does it take something? Yes. And the reason I know that we could be happy all the time is because if we can be fearful all the time and be sad all the time and be depressed all the time, like, why can't we have the opposite of that? Like, why can't we have the opposite that we've been all our lives ruled by fear? How about the opposite of that? If it's possible to be fearful all the time, why can't we have the opposite?
Right?
Right.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent.
That's how I see it. Now, also, I want people to understand that it takes something to be happy. So being happy also is feeling your feelings. Just because you are happy doesn't mean that you brush things under the rug, or because you're spiritual, you just are happy and you pretend you're happy. I'm not talking about this she, flowery, blah, blah, blah happiness. I'm talking about, like, real concrete happiness, which comes from within, but it takes something to get there.
Yes. Something that struck me a little, I'm saying odd and strange, I'm using all these weird words, but your book, it came to be from a Facebook post. I heard something like that. Can you explain to me what that was all about?
Yeah, I was, you know, I've been a motivational spiritual leader for about 5 years now, and I've been speaking internationally and on this concept of happiness and understanding the way the mind works so you can be happier. And I never thought I would write a book. I had people that would ask me to write a book, but I felt, you know, I wasn't capable because I didn't identify myself as a writer. In school, I was dyslexic, and I also suffered from learning disabilities. So I was always late in learning math. I was always late in learning everything. So I didn't feel capable. So I never thought of it. So what I did was that I created an inspirational CD, my most successful talks and helpful talks. So I created a CD so I could get people to shut up and stop asking me for a book. So that's what I did. So then I just was using the inspirational CD for a while. And then one day I was at home and I was having a glass of Pinot Noir. I love wine, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was drinking Pinot Noir and I posted something on Facebook and it sounded really good. And I thought, wow, this could be in a book. So I put excerpt from my book, and I didn't know that excerpt meant that it's actually from a book. I thought it was I was saying it's a quote or something. I don't even know what grammar. I don't even know what excerpt means, and I wrote the word excerpt from my book.
That is really funny, though.
So I put this beautiful thing, and I put extra for my book, and then the next day, D. Patrick Miller sends me an email on Facebook, which I didn't really know him personally or anything. I just knew that he had published a very successful best-selling, New York Times best-selling book called The Disappearance of the Universe by Gary Renard. So I knew him because of that book. I knew that he was a very, you know, prominent publisher, and he was also a book agent. he was starting to get into book agenting when he met me. So he sent me a Facebook message and he said, "Hey Maria, I just want to let you know I get very intrigued when A Course in Miracles teachers write a book. So I want to know more about your book." And I swear to God, I read the message and I was like, "What is he talking about?" Because I had forgotten because I drank too much. So I go back and I look at the post and I see that I wrote extra for my book the night before. And I was like, "Oh my God, Maria, you posted this that you have a book. You don't even have a book.
Wow.
I didn't even have a book."
Wow.
So that's how that happened. And to make a long story short, Patrick and I got on the phone and he saw my YouTube videos and he thought that I had a really massive, powerful message about happiness, something that was very radical and very different than what's out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally gave me the opportunity and we created a book proposal. And within the time that I did the post on Facebook to the time I had a book deal was only 6 months.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Boy, talk about miracles. Boy, you're a living miracle with all of this.
Right? It's just so powerful.
Speaking of Course in Miracles, you're connected with that. How did that happen? How did you find out about A Course in Miracles and all of that?
Yeah,
tell us about that.
The Course in Miracles I found in 1995 through Marianne Williamson's book, Return to Love.
Mm.
And it really resonated with me what she would say about this blue book. And I was just very intrigued about what was in this blue book because she kept on referring to it. I wouldn't start studying it till 2001 when I was at a Unity Church in Miami and I heard there was a workshop about A Course in Miracles and I remembered instantly that I had read about it in Marianne Williamson's book. So what I did was that I went to the workshop and I was intrigued because the guy started saying that you are not a victim of the world that you see, that you are responsible for your thoughts and your experience. You forgive people for what they didn't do. And he was saying all these like very interesting things. And I couldn't believe it. I literally fell off my chair. I'm like, what is this guy talking about? I didn't understand a thing, you know, but even though I didn't understand anything, I resonated with me and I made a commitment to understand the teachings of the Course. Then I would start to become a Course in Miracles student. And I went on to be a student for about 18 years. The Course in Miracles has Christian themes. It's not a religion. The Course in Miracles really helps to understand the way your mind works, that you have two thought systems, Holy Spirit and ego, and you're either choosing love or fear at any point. And then the Course in Miracles also helps with understanding and cultivating a relationship with your internal teacher, which is the Holy Spirit, so you can live a life of happiness and peace. That's what the Course offers. But it is a book that you need to practice on a consistent basis without compromise, even if you don't want to, if you want to see the results.
Mm.
So that's what The Course in Miracles, you know, is in a very, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you say, most of these questions I know the answers to because I prepared for the show, but there are a lot of people listening who won't understand certain things and I need you to explain a little bit. Now, you say we are responsible for our own experiences and that we aren't victims of anything or anyone. Can you explain to me what you mean by that?
Sure. And thank you for the question. I think it's a very powerful question. I think it's really important. I love questions that are hard, that are easy, whatever questions that is so that people could understand this better.
Yes.
You know, because that's the whole point of this.
Mm-hmm.
This is the whole point. So the two questions. So one is victim, that you're not a victim of the world that you see and that you're responsible, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So responsible for your experience. So the Course would say that we are responsible for our experience of anything. So anything that's happening, whatever it is, you know, I call them big deals of the world. It could be you lose your job. It could be you get a ticket, whatever it is. You're going to experience things in life, and when I say you're responsible, is that you're responsible the way you're going to experience the situation. So you're responsible how you're going to feel about it. You're responsible of how you're going to experience it, through happiness or through fear. I mean, through love or fear. So you choose. You can choose how you're going to perceive it. So whatever's going to happen is going to happen. because that's a given. We live in this world and there's going to be things happening every day. But you have the opportunity, and this is a beautiful thing, of how you're going to experience it. It's up to you. Nothing outside of you could just determine how you're going to feel. You are the decision maker of how you're going to feel, of the meaning you're going to give it. So that's what I mean of that you're responsible. Now that you're not a victim of anything you see, and I know this is pretty radical because we're caught in a society that we think that things are happening to us. But in reality, it looks like things are happening to us in form, but the only reason we feel it's happening to us is because of the thoughts that we're having.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what it is.
You know, I believe that too, because I most of the listeners know that this is my 14th year of having a kidney transplant, and it's sort of kind of breaking down now because they said it would only last for 10, but it's been 14 years, and now they're trying to save it, and I'm back on the list and all that. But I remember before getting the transplant, I had to go on dialysis, and the whole experience was just horrible. But like you were saying, I made up my mind. I went in after the first day. I said, "Oh, this is, I don't know how I'm going to be able to deal with this." I almost fell into that victim state. But I kept thinking, wait a minute, okay, no matter what, I have to do this. Either I go home, blow up and die, or either get on this machine and keep living. And I just accepted it. And while I was on the machine, I remember just kind of praying and thanking, giving thanks, and saying, you know what, there was a time when these machines didn't even exist. Most people got the kidney disease, went home and just died. At least I'm on it. And it used to be only reserved for rich white people at one point. Then it was rich people, period, no matter what color you were. And then it was for everybody. I was fortunate enough to be able to get on the machine and all that, and it turned into a different thing. It was almost like a spiritual experience going in and getting on my machine. They thought I was crazy because I was like the only one in there smiling throughout the day, you know, getting my treatments. And, of course, eventually I got the kidney and everything was well. But you're right. It was amazing just changing the way I saw the whole situation, just everything.
You know, I really, really love that story and that example, because that is actually exactly what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
That was a perfect example of you choosing thoughts that are aligned more to truth and to love versus being a victim. And being a victim of it, it's not bad or good. Listen, we're not sitting here. I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, it's bad or good. If you could also be a victim. Who cares? Like, whatever you choose. But I'm saying when you choose thoughts of, like, how you did, it's so helpful for you and for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You are so right.
I just love your story because it's actually the perfect example of that you choose your perception. You choose the way that you experience it. You could have been like, oh my God, poor me, I have to do this and I have to wait this long, oh my God, and you didn't do that. You were in your power, and you know, when you're in your power and when you are doing this, you're actually also doing it for everyone. Because we're all one mind, and we heal our minds together. So the more that you don't, you know, poo-poo on your party, the more we're gonna wake up, and that's the whole point here. So thank you for being that for me and for everyone, really.
Wow,
you know,
something. Like each one teaches one, huh?
Yes, absolutely, and so inspiring.
Yeah, so funny. What is the cuckoo voice of the ego, and how can we avoid falling into its trap? I love the way you said the cuckoo voice.
Well, the cuckoo voice is the voice of the ego in the book, which is the ego. Ego thoughts are the thoughts of fear. The cuckoo thoughts are those thoughts that are limitation, those thoughts that want to go into the victimization. The cuckoo voice is the voice that's always like, I should have, I could have, I wish I would have done it better conversation. That's the cuckoo voice. And the cuckoo voice, you know, speaks a lot of caca, which is shit. You know, it talks shit. So that's what I say in the book. I say the cuckoo voice talks a lot of caca. So this is why we need to cultivate more thoughts of love.
Wow. This is awesome. Did you always think Did you ever think you would be writing a book one day? Your life would be the way it is now? This is incredible.
No, I would have never thought my life would be this way. I never thought I would write a book. But what I did know is that with the practice that I was doing, I knew that I was going to live an extraordinary life.
Mm.
When I started to really start to practice what I'm preaching, what I'm sharing in the book, I knew that I would live an extraordinary life. I knew that I would start to have more peace, and I know that I would start to reflect back to me the love, the self-love that I'm cultivating. I knew that I was going to start reflecting it back to me, because, of course, like, everything is a reflection of your soul. If I'm starting to cultivate these really happy and aligned thoughts to truth, it's a given that I'm going to experience so much love and peace and opportunities around me. I mean, that's just a given. How it's going to appear, I don't know, and I still don't know,
right.
You know. But I'm in wonder, I'm in excitement, I'm in trust, that it was all revealed to me. Everything's always revealed to me, and I trust in that. I'm not manipulating anything. I'm not trying to make it happen. Heck, I even tried to make my book deal happen. I just was drinking wine, you know?
Wow.
But that's the stuff that happens when you're living in purpose. That's the stuff that happens when you get out of your own way, even like how you did, you know, with your whole situation with the kidney transplant. It's like, look at you. Like, you're going through this, and look at you. You're on the phone with me right now. You're creating shows. You're writing blog posts. Like, that's what I'm talking about, you know?
Amazing.
Let's do more of that.
Amazing. Boy, I just love your energy. You say that we have to become ready to be happy. Now, what do you mean by that? I like the way that sounds, though, becoming ready to be happy.
Yeah, we need to become ready to be happy, and this is why. Because most of us think we want to be happy. We talk about our want to be happy or wish I could be happy, but we don't want to do the work. You know, we just want to keep on living the same old way, having the same old thoughts of being victimizations, not taking responsibility, thinking things are happening to you, looking for your happiness outside. So, yeah, we want to be happy, but we still want to hold on to the past. We still want to hold on to our limited thoughts. So when I say you have to be ready, means you need to be ready, which actually means you need to be willing. You know, you need to be willing, and I'm not saying little willingness, because of course the miracle says all you need is a little bit of willingness, and miracles happen. But in my case, I like to say I need a big willingness, big fat willingness to be able to change. So that's what it is. Like, you need to be ready means you need big willingness to get out of your own way and to start to let go of self-concepts that you've been holding on for very long. Even if you don't want to, without compromise, it really takes something. So that's what I mean when I say, when I say that, you know, that you need,
good.
You know, you need to be ready.
Very good. Now, what is true forgiveness, and why is it important?
Well, true forgiveness is completely different than the forgiveness that we have learned of the world. Right. So forgiveness of the world, you forgive somebody because they did something, and you forgive them because, you know, you want to be the better person, or you want to have peace or whatever. You know, forgiveness means that you forgive something that has really happened, or you forgive something because you want to be the better person, or because you have Jesus and the other person doesn't, or whatever.
Right.
So forgiveness that I'm talking about, and that I actually learned from the Course in Miracles, forgiveness in the Course is forgiving people for what they haven't done.
My ears twisted. I'm like, whoa, that's interesting.
I know. Welcome to my world 20 years ago when I heard that. I was like, what? Forgive people for what they didn't do. And not only that, forgiveness in the Course, which I love this quote, it's actually from the Course, is remembering the love you gave and the love that you received in the past, all else is an illusion. So it's just really powerful. So the forgiveness that I'm talking about, it's completely different. I actually have a whole chapter on it that's called You Can Now Practice the F Word, or You Are Ready to Practice the F Word. And it's not that F word. So that
you're
is
good.
Forgiveness.
Because right away I thought the other F word.
Of course you did, you dirty guy. I'm kidding. So forgiveness in the book is basically, first step is your responsibility. And for true forgiveness in my book is you are responsible. So you are completely responsible for your perceptions, which is what I was talking about earlier. Okay? So you are the decision maker. You are responsible. You are the one that chooses the thoughts you want to have, so you're responsible. So that's step one in forgiveness in my book. Then the second step is recognizing that you forgive the person for what they didn't do. Why? Because in truth, they haven't really done it, because everything is love or a call for love. So nothing is, like, in truth, it's really not happening, because that person for a second is insane or is out of, you know, run by the cuckoo voice.
Yeah.
So they've lost their sense of self. They've lost their sense of love. So in truth, it's not really happening, because only love is real. All else is an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So you forgive the person for what they didn't do, because in reality, in truth, in the spiritual realm, it didn't happen. Now, in form, it looks like it. In form, it looks very real that person slapped you. In form, it looks very real that person's filing for divorce. It looks very real that your boss has told you that your job is going to be over. That looks, feels really real in the world. But you have the opportunity to see it differently and forgive the person for what they didn't do, because in truth, that is a gift for you to see it differently. So the third step, then you give it over to Holy Spirit so you can actually perceive it differently. Now, of course, things are going to happen in form that are going to be atrocious things. You know, a lot of things I've experienced in my life, and in your case, this thing with the kidney, right? So these things are really big deals of the world. That I call the big deals, but we have the opportunity to experience them the way we want. So actually what you've done to transform the situation with the kidney is actual forgiveness. That's what forgiveness is. You've actually forgiven because you have had a change of perception in the situation, and you're not a victim of it.
Right.
So that is forgiveness. You've actually forgiven yourself and forgiven the situation. That's why you're at peace with it. It's because you have actually forgiven.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Great. Oh, my God. This half hour flew by so fast. We got like a minute and
a half. I know. It's so fun.
What do you hope, which we kind of already went over this, but anyway, but what do you hope that readers will take away from the book, Live Your Happy?
I hope that they would take away from the book that there's another way of being and living in this world, of which you're in this world living in it, although you just walk around with such a gentle smile because you know you're not of it, and you know that there's just so much more available, and the way that you might have been living for, you know, the way you've been living all this time in regards to your life and relationships and things that have happened, that it could be different, and you can actually have the opposite of fear and start to live a more happy life filled with love. No matter what's going on in form, no matter what's going on outside of you, there isn't anything that could hinder your peace and your happiness.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, another thing I love about your book is that it's heavy enough where it's an important topic, happiness, but it's light enough you could read it on the bus, while you're in the bathroom, in the tub. You know what I mean? It's not like an encyclopedia that it's, you're afraid to read it. It's a nice, light, easy read. Was that done on purpose? Were you thinking about us people who hate to read, or what?
Yeah, actually, I don't like reading. I actually am not a very big reader. I have a very short attention span. Like, I'll be reading the first chapter, and I'm already looking in the back to see when the book is going to be over.
Oh, right.
Sounds
like me.
So, I wrote this book because I wanted it to be a book that is an easy read, being that it's not long, but I wanted it to be practical and to the point. My book is very straightforward. It's very practical. It's very like, okay, boom, that's it. Because I need it. I want the answer, and I want it. And just tell me, give me an example about it and how to practice it, and that's fine. Like,
yes.
just very elementary. So, I tell a lot of people, don't let it deceive you, because it looks like a short book, because it is a short book, although it's a very, very lengthy with concepts. It's very deep.
Yes.
You know, it's very deep.
Yes, that's what I like about it, yes. Because, I mean, that's a very important topic, too, happiness. I mean, really. And I like the way you attacked it. Great. With love, of course, the way you did it. You did it.
Uh-huh.
Great job. Well, congratulations on everything that's going on for you, man. It's working, and it's joyful work, I tell you.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy. I'm really living my happy right now.
You really are. I mean, the thing, you wake up every day to do this. My God, you know how many people would love to be you right now?
Yeah, and the funny thing is that they are me because we all really one.
Hey, oh, I love it. See, there you go.
Yeah, in truth, yeah. I mean, we're all from the divine. We're all in our divine right, just so loved by God, and we've never left the mind of God. And I'm just one of those symbols that's just want to remind people that we've never left the mind of God, and we're just so happy in that space. Like, that's our inheritance. Like, happiness is our divine right. Happiness is our function.
Mm-hmm.
It's like ours. So what I'm just sharing is exactly for everybody, because we all can experience this state of mind.
Yes.
It's just a choice.
Well, thank you for everything, for coming on this show, taking your time. This is great. You've helped me a lot. And your website again is, you go ahead and tell us what it is.
It's mariafelipe.org. Mariafelipe.org, yes. People
and you
can
said
find,
you
me,
have,
find out more about me there.
You have YouTube stations and things like that? Is that all on your...
I actually do, yeah. I have a YouTube channel with over 200 videos. You can just, on the search, look for either Maria Coconut TV or Maria Felipe. Actually, Maria Coconut TV.
Mm-hmm.
And on there, you'll be able to find all my videos and actually the book trailer if you wanted to see that. Or I have other videos on the book that are very helpful and complimentary, so that way you can understand the message better. Mm-hmm.
Terrific.
Yes.
Thanks again for everything. And excuse me, I had to cough there.
That's okay.
Well, okay, you've been listening to It's All About You, the radio program that is celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. And I'm your host, Darian Marshall. So happy to be alive and grateful to be doing this kind of work. It's awesome. And I want to thank you again, Maria Felipe, for coming on my show and sharing your happiness and love with us. It's awesome.
It's truly an honor. Thank you for having me. It's truly an honor.
Yes, thank you. And I'll see you all, guys, or you'll hear from me again next week. And so it is. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.